Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, and as I mentioned yesterday, many call this a new Masechet, so to speak, because it's Pesach Sheni. We begin discussing the dinim of the Korban Pesach. But once again, do not forget that what we're talking about over here is also the middle of a Masechet, which is going Kiseder Hayom, starting from the night before Pesach, and ending up with the night of the Seder itself at the end, which is Arvei Pesachim. And listen, it's a very, very reasonable order. So the way that we have it with Arvei Pesachim at the end also fits beautifully without our having to split things into completely different mesechtas. And I think it's very important for the way that we sense the Yontif to recognize the profound interrelationship of Kachim and Chulin and the Dinim of Achila in general, and the way that we lead our lives as being multi-leveled, which of course was exactly what we were talking about, the different levels of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, which was the end essentially of the previous perek, because the previous perek was talking about the intersection of different locales, and that intersection between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, or a world of just Aveda in terms of Olam Hazeh and Aveda Shemayim, which is exactly what the transition of Pesach was from Avodim Leparo to Avdei Shemayim. So that's, the Gemara says, that's exactly why we don't say Halal on Purim, because we still are Avdei Achashverosh in a sense. We never made that a transition in which we're able to interrelate those two locales. I think that that has very much to do with the transition between what people like to call Pesach Rishon and what they call Pesach Sheni. And it's a good idea not to keep those things separate in your mind. My father, Zatzal, said something that made a deep impression on me as a child, and I think it was it's a very profound insight, that the immense damage that the Marsha did to learning by splitting his Pirish between the Pirish on the Gemaras and the Pirish on the Agodas. And they're actually printed together, but in different fonts, so that you can tell the difference when he's being mefarish Agoda and when he's being mefarish something that's halacha. And my father held that that was something that caused what we now suffer, not has from cause. I mean, the Rambam talks about it way before the Marsha, but that strengthened people's sense, like, that's just Agadah. I have to worry about the Agadah. So, okay, we don't call that really part of the Gemara, which was so unbelievably, is so much part of what has changed the learning of Torah into something that is Nogea life, into something that is Nogea Shulchan Aruch. It's a disaster. Okay, so let's take a look. I sent you out the previous Perek's Sikkum. I don't know why Mo Willie seems to think that this is the first time that this has been done, because I've been doing this on every single Perek. I don't know. I begin to wonder, but it could be a function of dyslexia, that the third perek is really the first perek, and the second perek is the fourth perek, and maybe that's what's happening. But in any event, listen, I mean, it's brought you a long way into the world, that dyslexia, you know? And it's great. So maybe go forward in time, and then you'll find the previous stuff. Anyway, so let's just look over that. Yeah, the truth is, I have to be really honest, I also want to delay the beginning of this daf, because I feel if you don't hear the introduction to the daf and people are coming in late, that is going to be much more difficult to understand. So let's just take a few minutes here at the beginning to review the previous perek. And as you can see, I called Mokum Shenogu the sense of interacting locales, or intersecting locales is really what I think the end of the perek is. So that we begin with the various elements, whether it's different locations in terms of minag, then it becomes different locations in terms of piske halachas, and then it becomes different locations in terms of the different times, and how it is that we relate to them, and how these places interact with each other, if you're going from one place to another place. And then this becomes, of course, the interrelationship of Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni, which is itself one of the most profound minhagim, and that is different places that create different times. So we start off with the interrelationship of the minhagim of doing malacha on Erev Pesach, and that leads us into Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontev, and what the din is of malacha on the tainias, and if one does malacha on some of these occasions, so then we say that you're not roya simen bracha. So we get to the issue of simen, that simen bracha, and other places where we are not roya simen bracha from a malacha. Then we move on to daf nun aleph. So Omid aleph is about that concept of dvarim that are mutarim, but other people, other people are noeg iser. And when you are allowed to be doing it in front of them, when you're supposed to bedafka go out, like the story with Rabbi Yossi, bedafka to go out and to be oikar a minag, and this is where we have the Tosfos, who is masbir the differences between a minag choshev, a minag that was put into place by a rov, a minag that was just taken on by the b'nei mekamam, a minag that can cause damage because of how it will affect other halachas. Each one of those factors needs to be taken into consideration. And then we moved on from there to Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. And over there we were talking about how about if we had the case of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who was noyeg a particular way in terms of the Svichei Kruv, and if it's Befanav or Shalom Befanav, can you rely on an Adam Gadol? Does that mean during his lifetime as opposed to after his lifetime? What is considered to be a Mokum? Remember the difference between speaking to your child who has moved to Bavel, and whether he has a right to be Samech, as opposed to yourself has a right to be Samech. All of those issues also are how much you would have to accept the Minig HaMakom when you know and you saw with your own eyes the greatest Gedolim doing otherwise. And then we moved on to Daf Nun Beis, and that was, of course, probably the most common issue that comes up from this Perek Bizman Hazeh, and that is going from a Mokom that keeps Yontav Rishon only to a place that keeps Yontav Sheni, and what the din is in terms of Befar Hesha, and in a Mokom Amidbar, which doesn't have its own Mineg. And then we got into an issue that's related, but seems to have much more complex elements, and that was Lagabi the Dinam of Biur on Shemitah. How does the place that you come from, where over there it's certainly a botanical issue and not a minig issue, how does the botany of your original mokum affect the dinim of the Paris where you are? And because you're in a different place, do you have to be noeg according to the botanical realities of that place? That is a vast extension. And that, of course, got us into the dinim of biur and so on and so forth. That took us into how we determine the artzos habiur. How local is it? And so we got into the din over there on daf, on nun beis omid beis, the sholosh haratzot. And in each one of those sholosh haratzot, we have different topographies and how it is that an animal's territory becomes the central issue of Shemitah in terms of biur, because it's all about kol alachaya min asadeh. That's the point that you need to take it out of your storage at home. That led us on daf nun gimel, which is a good way to remember in your garden. So in your garden, you have to worry about the different size of the peros. We had kufra, and we had the simadar, the interrelationship of the various sizes of peros at their beginning of the blossoming stages, the shear of kapol lavan, and the difference between different trees as to when it's considered to have a din of a pri, the concept of a shomer of the pri, which is the shield. We have the plastic shield that you have over an early growing date and stuff like that. And then we talked about how it is you could tell the difference of topography by looking at the difference of the arboreal growth. So the interrelationship of trees to the topographical area, and that led us also to the issue of Masa Vamata and the difference it would make there. Daf Nun Gimel talked about Rome and how it is that Tudus Ish Romi had the minig in Rome and had everybody eating a gedima kulas. We talked about the other nice things that Tudus had done. It turned out he was an Ish Adam Gadol. He wasn't Chas V'Shalom and Adam Olim. And that brought us to the Mishnah about having Minhagim that appear very different. They appear to be contradictory. And yet, as the Mishnah points out, everybody's got his heart in the right place. And the purpose of the Minhag is exactly the same, amazingly. So whether you light candles on Yom Kippur, and whether you bedafka don't light candles in Yom Kippur, turns out to be motivated by the same issue. And that brings us, of course, into a deeper understanding of why it is that the intersecting locales, when it comes to Minhagim, were over there. The issues are so subtle that something that is good for one place is considered to be bad in the other place, and vice versa, can be motivated by exactly the same concerns makes us more sensitive to how we need to respect and understand the subtleties of the various menhagim of other places in which we are never wise enough to take into consideration. What really are the deep underlying issues that would make people feel so differently about things in different locations? Everybody, of course, tends to universalize their own experiences, their own childhood, and the own ways in which they grew up in terms of what kind of things we would eat on Shabbos and what kind of neighbors we would have in the house on Yom Kippur. And that's a terrible thing to do because it can actually lead you to be mezalzel and to be insensitive to the multiple factors that are taken into consideration in these kinds of things, which of course leads also to differences in halacha, which is why the halacha is constantly changing and constantly being defined by Basar Basra. And there we got into the other questions, which was on Daf Nundalid, the dinim in general about making the bracha boring or ha'esh, the difference between the bracha on Mitzvah Shabbos, the bracha of Yom Kippurim, which led us into understanding the idea of Ner Sheshavat, and that brought us to, obviously, since we needed to talk about the creation of Ur, as opposed to Or, the creation of Ur on Mitzvah Shabbos by Adam, the interrelationship of that to the things that were created Ben Hashmashot, in which the Koach was given Ben Hashmashot to be brought out of Lapal on Mitzvah Shabbos, and that led us to the things that were created before the Bria, like the Beis HaMikdash, my Makom Rishon, and the idea of Teshuvah that was Kodma Labriya, and that brought us into the ideas of Gehenim, and the Mokom of Gehenim, and the Eish of Gehenim, and the three different Shiurim that we had in there, which led us on Daf Nundalit Amud Beis to the things that a person cannot really know during his lifetime. And everything is during a process period, which is your life in Olam Hazeh. There are always going to be things that are mechusim from an individual in terms of himself, his own life, his own death, his really understanding of other people's minds, and the fact that he thinks he understands other people's minds, but is really mechuseh from a full connection to them. Obviously, that is related to the idea of the minhagim that we spoke about and the subtleties that are taken into consideration in different versions of experience of consciousness by different people in different places at different times. And that is one of the most incredible elements that we meet in trying to understand the development of culture, language, literature. We're constantly faced with the idea of Shivim Lashenais and how it is that the world continues to develop. Amazing thing. Okay, then we get on to the various malachas, the dinim of doing malacha on Tisha B'Av, the difference between your status. First time we talked about that, which is the din of being a Talmud Chacham and not being a Talmud Chacham, how you have to act differently. And that led us on Daf Nunhei into the question of Yura. Do you have a right to act as a Talmud Chacham when you're not a Talmud Chacham? And we were mechalik between the dinim of a Chosan and reading Kriyat Shema as opposed to acting like a Talmud Chacham on Tisha B'Av and vice versa. So the shitas that seem to be inverted when it comes to that. Then we spoke about the different places of Malacha on Erev Pesach, again, getting back to the difference between Yehuda and the Galil, which led us to the fact that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel obviously hold that this was actually Halacha, and that came to an understanding of Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, that it may involve Halacha and not just Minhaga. Then we got into the amazing details about what type of malachas we can do on Erev Pesach, Machlokas Rishonim, whether this was even Ogea after Chatzos, and that was talking about Tzorech HaMoed, and the question of whether it's a Gemar Malacha or a Tchilas Malacha, and the various things that you're allowed to do because we find some heter to do those things during Chol HaMoed, and that leads us to being matter them across the board, which are either three or four different things. We had that Machlokas about like barbershops, tailor shops, and so on, and that was considered all within the context of what is the deeper understanding of the first Mishnah, which we finally get back to towards the end of the Perek. And that led to the Mishnah that had the two levels of taking your TV set in for repair and making sure that something that already began, like a hatchery, or where you may be mafsid, so that had to do with hefsid, and the difference between hefsid meruba and hefsid muat, those were the inyanim of the Tarnagolim. And that led us to understand that sometimes we put two things together, Chol HaMoed and Erev Yontev and the relationship between them, that were more Mekel and Erev Yontev. And then at last we got a Nun Vav into different interpretations of the halacha, not just Minag, that was Anshe Yericho, then different interpretations of judgment calls. And that brought us to the case of Chizkiyo HaMelech and how he had to deal judgment-wise in terms of things that you can't really say black and white about at all. Was he correct or was he not correct in the way that he moved the water supply into the city, in the way that he dealt with his father, in making a judgment call about destroying things that had a level of almost Kedusha to them in people's minds, like the Nachash HaNechoshes or the Sefer HaRefuah. So this is the most subtle element in which your question is, do you have a right to call someone on that? Or is that more of an element in which the Bezdin, and in fact, we don't find that Bezdin was Meche, as they were in Anshe Yericho, and some of the things, even though they may not have approved of three of the things that Chizkiyo did. And that led us to the subtle interrelationship between things that are both good and bad. And that brought us to the Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Solo Olam Va'ed, which is something of a hefsek in Kriyat Shema, and which is, as the Gemara compares it, Tzike Kidera. Do we say it? Don't we say it? And of course, as we pointed out at the time, this is, in a sense, the ultimate interrelationship of two places, that is to say, a mokum of Olam Hazeh, in which Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Solo is a Shevach Gadol, and a Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, relative to that, in which Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso is insulting and is downright Tzike Kedera oriented as compared to Filet Mignon. And this itself is perhaps the most sensitive area of the ideas that we've spoken about, of differences and so on. And then we went into the details on Daf Nun Vav about what it was that the arguments with Anshe Yericho were, Gidulei Hegdesh in terms of the Gamziot, whether there's a Gezerah of Aliyah Be'ilan on Perash Shenashru, and perhaps a Machlokas about whether Muchan La'Adam is Muchan La'Klover, Muchan La'Klovim is Muchan La'Adam, which took us to taking off Peah from a Yerek and the dangers that it could cause. And then we went in general into the idea of protecting people by making things hegdash. So that was the, first of all, the Balei Zroa among the Kohanim, and also had to do with people that would be stealing from the growers of the wood. And they also would make it hegdash. And then we went into the way that it's the Azara itself interrelates with its Tzvachas. And that brought us to the story, the sad story of Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai. And we close the perek with the words, Baruch Hashem, that someone could suffer in Olam Hazeh and not have to take it with him into Olam Haba, which of course is exactly the idea of intersecting locales. Okay, gentlemen, that is a brief review of the fourth perek. And let us, because of that, move on now into the fifth perek, in which we now get into the inyanim of the Kedusha, of the aspects of Erev Yontev, and that has to do with the Shechita of the Korban Pesach, which was also done on Erev Yontev. Till now, we were talking about morning and afternoon in the dinim of Asiyas Malacha and the different minhagim. Now we're going to be talking about more subtle differences in timing in the afternoon part. We talked about the subtle differences in timing in the Machlokas that we had earlier in the Masechet about splitting up a day between a time that something may be mutter b'achila chometz, may be mutter b'achila osur b'anah, then becomes osur b'anah mid rabbonah, then becomes osur b'anah mid yoraisa, and the different dinim between a truma and chulin in all of those times. But those were all times that were limited to before the seventh hour, meaning up to the end of the sixth hour. What about in the beginning of the afternoon? Now, in order for us to get through this Mishnah, and I must warn you, it's very simple, but it includes many variables. And because of the variables, it comes across as being very complicated. So what I'd like to do for you is to introduce the variables and then to run through the daf. Because once we understand the variables, it's very easy to keep track of things. So first of all, the Mishnah is concerned about five different occasions. And each occasion takes into consideration different variables in determining the halacha of the shechita of the tamid shel bein ha'arba'in. The reason why it's important for us to determine when to do the shechita of the tamid shel bein ha'arba'in is because there are other things that are dependent on that shechita. Namely, I cannot bring nedarim or nedavais after the shechita of the tamid shel bein ha'arba'in. It has to be done before, and we'll see why. But on the other hand, I cannot bring a Korban Pesach before. It has to be done after. Now, that obviously leads to a bit of juggling of the differences of times that we're going to be shechting that Korban, because on Erev Pesach, we certainly need to allow more time after the Shechitas HaPesach. So we're going to need to balance the need of people that are bringing the Dharma Nadavas to the people that are going to be bringing their Korban Pesach. And we need to also take into consideration whether we're going to have time to prepare the Korban Pesach. Why is that? Because if it's Erev Pesach, which is also an Erev Shabbos, then we're going to have to get the Tzliyah of the Pesach done early enough before Shabbos, because we can't do it on Shabbos, which usually we could do it in the night of the Yontif. So as you can see, it's going to make a lot of difference. So the five times that we are going to be talking about is a typical day for the Shechita. That's a whole day. When do we bring our daily Korban Shebein HaArbayim? Then a Shabbos, a regular Shabbos. Then a regular Erev Pesach, means a weekday Erev Pesach. Then a Shabbos Erev Pesach, and then an Erev Shabbos Erev Pesach, which then introduces the additional problem of our needing to complete the Tzliya of the Pesach before Shabbos, which means we'll need even more time than we normally would. So those are the five times, and we're going to have two different shitas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and we're going to have three different approaches to what the two different shitas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are. So you can see that that can get a little confusing. It's very important to keep in mind what the times are that we're talking about. Now, as far as how we determine these times, this is not arbitrary. What happens is that the Torah gives us hints to timing and the hierarchy, the timing of things, what comes first and what comes second and what comes third in the course of a day. At the beginning of the parak, we're going to go very easy with the number of things that we need to take into consideration. So we're going to talk about the Tamid Shel Shachar. We're going to be talking about the bringing, if it happens to be a Shabbos, if we have to bring the Bezichin, the relationship of the time to the Musafim, and the relationship of the next time, which would be the Tamid Shel Bein HaArbayim. But, of course, if it's a day of Nedarim V'Nedavos, the Nedarim V'Nedavos before, if it's a day of Korban Pesach afterwards. Later on, we're going to be getting into the other confusing issues that also are going to be taking place during this time, including the Hadlaka of the Menorah. When do we bring the Keteris? Which one of these things has to come for first towards the end of the day, and how much time needs to be allowed for them? But we're going to start off easy. So the way that we know the times in the Torah is because sometimes the Torah says to do something in the morning, boker. Sometimes it says to do something in the yom. Sometimes it says to do something bein ha'arbayim. Sometimes it says to do something be'erev bein ha'arbayim. But then it gets more complicated because sometimes the Torah says to do something baboker, baboker. Ooh. Then that means even earlier, right? Because baboker, baboker clearly is telling you earlier than just plain boker. On the other hand, yom, which implies it's more developed than just the boker, which is just the breaking forth of the sun. That's what the word boker means. So sometimes it says yom, but sometimes it says yom biyomo, which is a double lashon of yom, and that would mean a little bit later in the day, right? So if it's just yom, it's not as late as yom yom. So as you can see, boker boker, boker, yom, yom yom, bein arbayim, erev u bein arbayim. And there's more to come, as we'll see. So those are the basic ideas that give us set times for doing various things in the day of the Aveda. What are the factors that we need to consider in taking into consideration the variable timing that we would do for the Korban Tamid Shabbein Arbayim, which technically speaking can begin in the afternoon and could go on any time until the end of the day. So when we choose a time, okay, we need to take into consideration how many Nedarim and Nedavos are going to be coming in on a normal day that we have enough time to bring so that we could put off bringing the Tamid Shabbein Arbayim, because if we bring it earlier, then people are not going to be able to bring their Nedarim and Nedavos. That's issue number one. Then we need to take into consideration whether, if we vary things in a way that isn't clear to people, might they come to accidentally utilize that same variable on a day where it shouldn't have been used. That is called srach. And in the sugya that we're going to have, it's called the srach of the Nedarim v'Nedavos, because applying the wrong time in the wrong day will mean that there will be a destructive effect on the Nedarim v'Nedavos of that day. Then obviously we have to take into consideration the ribuy of psachim, because we're going to have millions of karbonas that need to be brought, and they need to be brought before the end of the day, but after the akrava of the Tamid Shabbein Arbayim. So that is another thing. Then we have to take into consideration, on only one occasion, when Erev Shabbos is the Erev Pesach is an Erev Shabbos, we're not going to have time to prepare the food to eat, because you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. And therefore, that's going to add an extra hour, because people need to also to broil their Korban Pesach, right? So that takes time, and they can't come home with a raw Korban Pesach, obviously. I mean, you're not allowed to, when I say home, I mean in Yerushalayim, of course. Then we need to take into consideration, the next factor is called michmar bisra, which is overheating of the meat, which can cause it to spoil. Michmar Bisra is particularly important on a day like Shabbos, if it's Erev Pesach, which is a Shabbos, because of the fact that we cannot allow you to wash off the meat, which you're going to be eating, because that's not a tzorach of Hegdish. That's something that could be done tonight on Yontif. If you can't wash off the meat, then you also, first of all, allow the growth of bacteria. Secondly, you can't cool it with water, which means that it is more likely to spoil quickly on that day. So that's another issue that needs to be taken into consideration. Michmar, overheating. That's what we call the heating olives. Is a comer shall say to him. So those are the slowly oxidizing things. Instead of calling them fire, slow oxidation is kmira. So michmar bisra. And the next thing that we need to take into consideration in the sugya is, when do the bezichin come to be taken off of the shulchan and distributed to the kohanim if it's a Shabbos? Is that done before the Korban Musaf, or is that done after the Korban Musaf? And that has to do with analyzing the remuzim of the time of the day in the Pasuk, which we'll get to later. So that means we've got, again, the number of Nedarim v'Nedavos, the Srach of Nedarim v'Nedavos, the number of Psachim, the additional time needed for preparing the Psachim, the fear of rotting the meat because it's going to overheat, and when are the Bezichin brought? Putting all of those things together, we need to determine the time of the Tamid Shel Shachar, the relationship of next, of the Bezichin to Musafim, next, Nedarim v'Nedavos, next, the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, next, the Psachim, and next, the preparation of the Pesach for eating, which is the Tzliyah, which only if it's Erev Shabbos also needs to be done during the day of Erev Pesach. All of that has to be fit into the afternoon. So we've moved on from the morning into the afternoon, and we understand the factors. Now let us take a look first at the Mishnah, which sort of keeps it easy, although it's a bit opaque, and then to the various stories of the Machlokas in between the different Shitas. So let us start with the beginning of the Mishnah. It's been such a long introduction, I think we need access to our Kapitan to really get into the spirit of things properly, assuming that he's ready to come off of his mute. Go for it, Capitan! Thank you, Capitan. Tamid nishchat b'shmona v'mechza, v'korav b'tisha v'mechza. So on a normal day, we will shecht our korban tamid at 8.5 hours in the day. Now, that's a long time. And what we're really doing is we put things off for 2 hours. Why do I say 2 hours? Because even though technically speaking, remember noon, the way that we measure time starting at the beginning of the day always at 0 hours and the beginning of the night always at 0 hours again, so that it's not a 24-hour clock, it's a 12-hour clock, and it goes according to the actual astronomical differences of each day as opposed to some ticking of quartz. That doesn't define the time for us. And because of that, 6 hours is Chatzos Hayom. 6 hours at night is Chatzos Halayla, what we like to call 12 o'clock noon and 12 o'clock midnight. So that, of course, 12 o'clock noon, 12 o'clock midnight is a meaningless, in terms of astronomical terms, a meaningless reference. 6 o'clock is a meaningful reference because it measures precisely midday, midnight. So now the question is, is it immediately discernible that it is post-midday? Now, there's a remez in the pasuk to the idea of Erev, which Rashi, which we have in the Parshios that we've been learning, Rashi learns Erev is referring to Mishiyinatu Tzalalei Erev, from the time that the Tzal, that's Bein Ha'arbaim, so there are shadows that start to fall when the sun begins heading towards the west. And the shadows now start to fall towards the east. And the question is, can we start immediately at 6 hours? Now, it turns out that the kotalim of the Beit HaMikdash were built in such a way that they were broader on the bottom. And then which is pretty standard when you're dealing with a tall structure that is made out of stone. So what they had over there was walls that were broader at the bottom than they were at the top. Now, but because of that, it's more difficult to ascertain precisely when the sun has moved off because it's not an even wall. Bedafka. So obviously, the thinner you have your sun clock, the more accurate your sun clock will be. Okay. So that means bedafka, we allow a little bit of extra time so it becomes clear that the tzilalim have started to move. So what we do is we say, okay, from 5.5 hours till 6.5 hours, that is the time where basically you perceive the sun to be, in your experience, directly overhead. It isn't really directly overhead. It's a little bit before noon and a little bit after noon. Okay, so we start the afternoon at 6:30. And therefore, our normal Tamid, we would begin, if we had nothing else taken into consideration, what would be the consideration that we would take? Zrizim Magdim in La Mitzvah. So the first thing we'd want to do is, the moment we can, at 6.5 hours, we'll shecht our carbon Tamid. From the time that we shecht our carbon Tamid till the time we're actually able to bring our carbon Tamid, a full hour will pass. And that is because there is much to be done. We need to do after the Shechita, besides the Avodas Hadam, which take time, we also need to do the Hafshata, and we need to do the butchering, and we need to do at the same time cleaning out all of the internal mess that we're taking because we're using, of course, the stomachs and so on. That takes a long time to completely clean out. And then we need to do the bringing it up to the kevesh and the bringing it up to the mizbeach, the salting it, and so on and so forth. This takes time. So between the time that we can actually finish the hakrova, or do the hakrova and finish the hachana for the hakrova, will take us an hour. And because of that, the tumid would be nishkat at 8:30 hours in the day, and it would be brought at 9:30 on the day on a normal day. But if it's an Erev Pesach, so now we won't have, if we do that, even though that we do that in order to allow people the time between 6:30 and 8:30, we allow for bringing your Nedarim v'Nedaves, which need to be brought before the Tamid, on Erev Pesach, we can't afford to do that, because then we won't have enough time for everybody to bring a Karban Pesach, which has to be brought after the Tamid. So because of that, we move the Shechita Satomid back to 7:30, and that gives us an extra hour because it'll be brought at 8:30. And this is true, Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos. Now note, Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos could mean the first statement, Tomid Nishchat B'Shmona V'Mechza, Bein B'Chol Bein B'Shabbos, or it could mean the second statement, that if it's Erev Pesach, Bein B'Chol Bein B'Shabbos, this is the time that we would do it at 7:30, which of course is a very different interpretation, and we'll see that this is up for grabs in the Gemara. Now, suppose our third case in the Mishnah, case number one, normal day. Case number two, Erev Pesach. Case number three, if Erev Pesach comes out on Erev Shabbos, why is that the important point? Because we need to allow extra time for the Tzliat HaPesach, because we cannot cook on Shabbos, and the cooking is not part of the needs of the carbon, it's part of our needs for eating, and only obliquely becomes nogea the carbon, because you have to have the achila. There's no other carbon in which the achila is actually considered to be part of what the shechita is about. In this case, the achila is very much part of the carbon, as we'll see. So in that case, if Erev Pesach is chal on Erev Shabbos, we go all the way back to the earliest possible time, which is 6:30, and we allow no time, basically, for the Ur Nedarim V'Nedaveis, we allow the entire day for the Karban Pesach and for the Tzliya of the Karban Pesach. It doesn't mean literally no time, because obviously there's no Karban Musaf on that day, so we still have time before the Karban of the Shechitas Bein Arbaim, but nonetheless very limited. We go all the way back to Shesh V'Mechza, and then it's Karav V'Sheva V'Mechza, and the Karban Pesach is brought immediately after that. Okay. So now the question is, where do we get all of this from? What makes us so sure that we have to have for some reason, an 8:30 normal shechita and akrova at 9:30? I mean, where would that come from? Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Yomar Kra et hakeves echad taseh baboker, the et hakeves hashenita aseh bein ha'arbaim. What does bein ha'arbaim mean? Well, I say, Bein Arbaim means, look, take the entire period and make it into two types of changes in the sun position. So that means divide the afternoon into two separate afternoons, so to speak. The time in which we begin to move towards the west and the time in which we begin already to move towards the evening. So the first part is bright day. The second part is evening, which gives you basically 5 hours because you need an hour for the actual asiya. So that means take 2.5 hours before, take 2.5 hours after, and 1 hour sha'achas lasiyato, which puts you smack bang into what the Mishnah said. You start off with the 2.5 hours from the afternoon, which we're taking as a total of 6 hours. 2.5 hours into the afternoon is 8:30. 1 hour for asiyah is 9:30. From 9:30 to 12 gives us another 2.5 hours, which is perfect. Except for one problem, as Rava points out. Masiv Rava. How, according to you, do we have variables? It says in our Mishnah that on Erev Pesach, you bring it back to Sheva V'Mechza and Karev B'Shmona V'Mechza. Bein B'Chol, Bein B'Shabbat. Now, obviously, Rava is thinking that Bein B'Chol, Bein B'Shabbat is a reference to Erev Pesach, which may not be true, as we'll see. But anyway, if you are correct that the Mokar is a Diyaraisa, how do you have a right to play with a time that's Diyaraisa that is so well-defined as Bein Arbaim, according to you? 2.5 and 2.5. So how did you move to an hour earlier? 2.5 after 6 is 8:30. What gave you the right to move it to 7:30? Therefore, says Rava, look, it's a nice remez, but it sure as heck is not the Mokar of the Halacha. Elo Amar Rava. The point is that the mitzvah of bringing the carbon is from the moment that yinatu tzilalei arev. So from the time that we start getting these shadows that begin to lengthen, why is that? Because the pasuk says, bein ha'arbaim. So that means that we have the erev, which there's different ways of understanding this. According to the Ramban, Erev has two different meanings, because we find, like, Be'erev tochlu matzot doesn't mean in the evening. It has to be in the literal night. And then we have Erev as meaning as things are turning dark. So that may be the two different meanings. Or we have the Erev as the sense of the movement of the sun. And therefore, there's a change in status. So we have the beginning of the Erev, which is the beginning of the afternoon, and we have the Erev, which is the beginning of the evening. But in any event, it starts at that point, at the beginning of the Tzlalim, when things are starting to go to the Ma'arav. Ma'arav is where the sun sets, so that's the Mi'arev, that's where it's setting. And so that gives us like a nice broad area. So Bishar Yemot HaShana, on a normal day, there's a lot of Nedarim v'Nedavot that have to be brought. So we are given the spectrum of times. And the Torah says, you've got to do all of these karbonas, Aleha Chalvei HaShlamim. So what does Aleha Chalvei HaShlamim mean? It means you've got to bring your karbonas, and all of your Nedarim and Nedavas are karbonas of Shlamim. So then it says, Ha'esh al Mizbeach Tukadbo, and V'arach Aleha Ha'ola, V'hiktir Aleha Chalvei HaShlamim. So Aleha means on that carbon that you brought in the morning. On top of that, you bring all your Chalvei HaShlamim, but you cannot do it before, and you cannot do it after you've brought the other carbon tamid. You've got to do it all Aleha, and that's the point. So, the Darav and Adavais, HaShlem Kol HaKarbonot Kulam, and we need a lot of time. Okay, so since the Torah gave us an actual long period, a spectrum of times that begin at 6 hours and end at 12, so Ma'achrin Leitar Teshoy, we take off 2 more hours in order to bring the Nedarim and Nedavais. We do it at Shmona Me'echza. On Erev Pesach, where we're worried about needing enough time to do the Karban Pesach, we can't do it so late. So we bring it back 1 more hour to allow time both for the Karban Pesach afterwards and for the Nedarim and Nedavos, which have to be completed before. And therefore, if Chal Erev Pesach Lios Erev Shabbos, we're over there, we've got another problem. How are we going to prepare our Karban Pesach? That takes an extra hour. Ooh. So if that's the case, it's since the Tzliyah is not Dochi Shabbos, we're going to have to go all the way back to Mukmina Le'adine. We put it according to its basic halacha. And its basic halacha is actually Sheish V'mechza. That's the idea. And that gives us all of these times. Okay, that's how I see it. So the Mishnah would make perfectly good sense. And it would go according to, we don't see any kind of machlokas. Problem is, now it begins to get complicated, that we find that there is a machlokas. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. However, it is not very clear what the machlokas is about. And that's what makes it complicated. So, Tana Rabbanan, in the Braisa it says, the same thing that we do on a normal day of the week, that's what we do on Shabbos. So says Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Not the way we do it on a normal day. We do it like we do it on Erev Pesach. Well, this is not at all clear. It starts off, it seems to be talking about just interrelating a normal day with a Shabbos day. However, that is not how we take it, says Abaye. Now we're going to see in the end, there is a way to learn it, that it's exactly what it means. But Abaye says it's not what it means. Abaye says, look, this machlok is between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, is referring to the Erev Pesach problem. And it's talking about that part of the Mishnah that was going on Erev Pesach. So, Kisiduro b'chol b'Erev HaPesach. What it's saying is, the same way that you would make the Tumid on a weekday Erev Pesach, it's exactly the same when the Erev Pesach is a Shabbos Erev Pesach. We don't make any difference. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, which means that it's at Sheva V'chetzi, according to Rabbi Yishmael. The point that he's making, Erev Pesach Shabbos, Erev Pesach Chol, is exactly the same. Now, that would be one way of reading the Mishnah, Erev Shabbos Pesach, Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Chol, a reference to Erev HaPesach. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's like what we do with the Tumid on an Erev Pesach that falls on Erev Shabbos. So in other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, says Abaye, if we would bring it at 6.5 hours on Erev Shabbos, then we bring it at 6.5 hours on Shabbos, both when those are Erev Pesach as well. And we're going to figure out why that would be true and what they're arguing about. But let's see how that impacts our understanding of the Mishnah. Because that would mean, says Abaye, the way I understand it, the Mishnah is only going according to Rabbi Yishmael. because Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says that it's indeed at Sheva Vamechs on Erev Pesach. Bein Bechol, Bein B'Shabbos. Who said that? Rabbi Shmuel. Masha Inken, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not true. If it's Shabbos, we make it all the way down to 6:30, according to Rabbi Akiva, because he says we treat an Erev Pesach Shabbos the way we treat an Erev Pesach Erev Shabbos. Why we would do this, we have no idea yet, and we're going to try to figure out what the machlokas would be right now. But Micah Miflagi, now why in the world would we actually do such a thing? Why would Rabbi Yishmael say that we should put it off when we don't need to put it off? There's going to be a heck of a lot of Karbonos Pesach. So that means the earlier we can bring the Tamid, the better. If we don't have any need to bring the Darim V'Nedavos, which we certainly don't need if it's a Shabbos, so then let's go all the way back and make it as early as we can, and we'll bring the carbon at 6:30, which will leave us the whole rest of the afternoon to bring the carbon Pesach, which is great. What possible reason would there be for putting it off until 7:30? So how do we explain Rabbi Yishmael? That is a machlokas about whether the Musaf comes before the Bezichin of the Lechem Aponim. That's the machlokas. Rabbi Yishmael says, look, on Shabbos, you're going to have to allow time to take the bezich and be makriv them and hand them out to the Kohanim. And since you can only do that after the Karban Musaf, and the Karban Musaf, it says specifically yom yom, dvar yom bi yomo, you have no choice but to wait until later in the day, which is at the sixth hour, to bring your musaf, because otherwise it's still morning, and the Torah is saying, don't bring the musaf in the morning, bring it in the yom. And therefore, we first have to do the musaf, which we'll do in the sixth hour, then we'll bring the bezichin in the seventh hour, and then we'll bring the tamid at 7.5 hours. So inevitably, we've delayed the carbon tamid shel bein ha'arbaim, even though we would have preferred not to. But that's because the other chiyuvim of the Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you bring the bezichin before the musaf, and therefore there's no problem. You can bring the bezichin early. Let's say you bring the bezichin at 5 hours in the day. The musaf is still on schedule. You bring the musaf at sheish, and then you can do the korban tamid at sheish v'mechza, and everything is great. Says Rava, everything is great except for one minor problem. There's not the slightest remez in the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in the Braita that speaks about your case, Abaye. You have basically constructed a Braita that doesn't exist. You show me where in the world the Braita talks about Kisiduro. The idea over here is that Rabbi Akiva saying Kisiduro be'erev HaPesach, Leon's be'erev Shabbos. It says Kisiduro be'erev HaPesach. Where did that come into? I don't understand how you could poke all of that meaning into those words. All he said was you bring it like you would bring it on Erev Shabbos. He didn't say it was being an Erev Pesach. He didn't say it was also an Erev Shabbos. You're throwing all of that in. Ela Amar Rava. What the Braisa means is much more similar to what it's actually saying, assuming that the Braisa is extending the Mishnah. So what the Braisa is saying, look, you bring it the same way, Kisiduro Bechol Da Alma, the same way you would bring it on a regular weekday. That's how you bring it on a Shabbos Erev Pesach. In other words, whoa, according to Rava, according to Rabbi Yishmael, we're putting it off all the way until 8.5 hours. My gosh, we're not going to have time. Why in the world are we doing this? This the Gemara is going to wonder. According to Rava, why would Rabbi Yishmael possibly say that an Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, that has to be treated the way it would be on a regular day, as if there are Nedarim V'Nedavos? There are no Nedarim V'Nedavos. We ought to be trying to make as much possible time as we can for the Korban Pesach, and for some reason, we're even making it later than we would make it on a normal Erev Pesach at 7.5 hours. That's crazy. And the Gemara is going to wonder, why in the world would Rabbi Yishmael have said such a thing? Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says, no, you can still do it the way you would do it on a normal Erev Pesach, meaning at 7:30. And therefore, according to Rav is understanding it, we've moved the machlokas over here. Remember, we have five different times. Normal day, Shabbos day, normal Erev Pesach, Shabbos Erev Pesach, Erev Shabbos Erev Pesach. Those are our five times. So that means Rava in Reb Yishmael is matching up time number one with time number four. A normal day with an Erev Pesach, which is a Shabbos. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, we're matching up the normal day, meaning the normal day of an Erev Pesach Bechol, 7.5 hours, which is our third time, with our fourth time. And that would mean that the Mishnah is Dafka going only Alibet to Rabbi Akiva, because that's exactly what it said in the Mishnah. Erev Pesach, at least that's the way Rav understands the Mishnah. Bein b'Shabbat, Bein b'Chol is a reference to the words Erev Pesach. And that means 7.5 hours on Erev Pesach. Okay, that's the way I understand it. Rabbi Akiva is the Mishnah. But how would you understand the Machlokas? Why in the world would Rabbi Yishmael put it off when there's no concern for Nedarim v'Nedavos? That sounds crazy. But Michael Miflege, what would be the Machlokas? The Machlokas over here is whether we need to worry about Michmar Bisra. We're worried because since Rabbi Shmuel Savar, since, as we're going to see later on, that you're not allowed to wash the meat, you're only allowed to soak those things that you need to take out for the Mizbeach, and therefore that meat is not going to be cooled and it's not going to be cleaned. We're worried that it's going to get overwarmed and spoil and make a delicious bacterial lunch, and there goes your Korban Pesach. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that that is not something we need to take into consideration. Therefore, we could treat it the way we always treat it. The extra hour is not going to make the difference. But wait a minute. I mean, if that's the point, then why can't we go according to Rabbi Akiva? Why aren't we going all the way back? If you're not worried, why don't we go back to 6.5 hours, which is the time that it's kosher, and that would give us more time for our Korbanos Pesach? Where do you get Sheva V'chetzi? I mean, either you are Chayesh from Yichmar Bitzer or you're not. I mean, you're not telling us that you know the difference between that extra hour. No, it's because Rabbi Akiva holds. Again, the Musafim have to come before the Bezichin. So I need the extra hour to bring the Bezichin before I'm able to start bringing the Korban Pesach. Because then I need to do first the Bezichin, then the Tamid at Sheva V'mechza, then the Korban Pesach. That's the reason. I would have loved to put it all the way back to Shesh V'chetzi. Ask the Gemara from the Braisa. Here a Braisa seems to be saying very clearly that Tamid Kol HaShana Kula, Korev Kiyokasa, we bring a Tamid all year round without complications, Shmona V'chetzi the Shchita, Teisha v'chetzi da hakrova. On Erev Pesach, we bring it an hour earlier. Sheva v'mechza is the shchita. Shmona v'mechza is the hakrova. If it's an Erev Pesach that comes out chaliyot b'shabbat, and therefore we are able to do away with the problem of the nedarim v'nedavos, we treat it exactly the same as we treat it on any other day. It would be the same as if it were a Monday. That would be Rabbi Yishmael's words. And Rabbi Akiva says that no, it would be the way that we do it on every Erev Pesach. Now, this is essentially saying exactly what Abaya said. Abaya said that Aliba Rabbi Yishmael, that the halacha would be that if Erev Pesach is on a Shabbos, it's exactly the same as on a Erev Pesach during the week. What the time is that? Sheva v'chetzi. It's exactly what Abaya said is Rabbi Yishmael Shita, and therefore the Mishnah was going like Rabbi Yishmael. And if Rabbi Yishmael is saying that the Shita is at the same time when Erev Pesach is would have been on a normal Monday, so then what does Rabbi Akiva mean when he says no, like it is on Erev Pesach? That could only mean like it is on an Erev Pesach, that is on an Erev Shabbos, which is what Abaya had claimed Rabbi Akiva meant. And Rava said, oh my gosh, you're reading all of that into his words. Will you give me an alternative? Now that you see it in the context of discussion with Rabbi Yishmael, that's the only way to understand it. So Bishlam ala Abaye, that works out great because it's an exact description of Rabbi Yishmael Shita, Rabbi Akiva Shita, according to Abaya. According to Rava, He says that, no, Rabbi Shmuel is worried that Michmar Bisra, and therefore you have to put it off to Shmone V'chetzi, and it says over here, Beferish, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, you bring it at the same time as you would on Monday, which means it's at Sheva V'chetzi. We're not concerned for Michmar Bisra. Amar L'Chorava, you're reading it wrong. Don't read the Braisa as if it falls on a Monday. Read it as if it is a Monday, meaning it's the same way that you bring the Korban on a Monday, not Erev Pesach, a normal Monday. And a normal Monday is 8.5. Okay, what about this Braisa? Meizvet. Chaliyot b'Shabbat. Then the Tumid is brought like it is any other day. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Now, boy, that sounds exactly like Rava. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's the same as it is on every Erev Pesach. Now, oh my gosh, that is Bishlam al Rava. That's exactly what Rava said, right? 8:30, according to Rabbi Yishmael, just like it would be all year round. According to Abai, it makes no sense. I thought he said it a little bit of Rabbi Yishmael, it's an hour earlier. It's 7:30, not at 8:30. So Abai says, you're reading it wrong. Don't read that like it's Seder is all year round, meaning on a normal 8.5 hours. Read that as like it's Seder is every year, meaning that even though this year it happened to come out on Shabbos, treat it the way you would every year when Erev Pesach is just a regular day, meaning 7.5, like we do on Erev Pesach, which is exactly what Rabbi Shmuel holds according to me, says Abaye. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, shecht it on a Shabbos Erev Pesach, the same way that you would shecht it on an Erev Pesach, which is Erev Shabbos. Ha! Exactly like me, which is at Sheish V'chetzi. Okay. So we now have all of the shittas in place. We understand that we have a machlokas as to how to read the Mishnah like Rabbi Yishmael, or we're reading the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva, but at least we understand that we've taken into consideration all of our variables. And we will continue, and we will note that we've got a third approach as we continue tomorrow.